is your name. He is a mighty warrior, mighty warrior, great in battle. Jehovah is your name. He is a mighty warrior, mighty warrior, great in battle. Jehovah is your name. Father, we thank you and bless your name for today. Father, even as we listen to your word, even as we share your word, Father, speak to my heart and Father, speak to our hearts. Let your name be glorified. Have your way. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. We bless God. So for those who don't know me, my name is Perry Akon. I'm from Ghana, and I'm married to one wife. Pardon? Yeah, project. I'm married to one wife. I have one daughter of many to come, and I am a PhD student in international law. I deal with treaties and a lot of stuff, but one of my greatest heart desires is to serve the Lord, preach His word across the nation. Amen. Nice to meet you. Last 2 weeks, we began a series, which was on the Holy Spirit. Amen. Someone say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And this series is to aid us in our walk in love and our walk with the Lord on earth. Amen. We understand that when Jesus Christ was ascending, he said, it is good that I go so that the Holy Spirit will come. So in actual sense, out of the Trinity, the presence that is really crucial in our fellowship with God on earth is the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to do a quick recap. A quick recap. And the scripture you see there is from John 14, verse 16. Hallelujah. Can we all read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. One more time. 1, 2, go. So last week, the three main aspects of our study was in line with who is the Holy Spirit. Then we went on to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we went on to understand how to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So in the aspect of who is the Holy Spirit, one of the critical things we pointed out was that the Holy Spirit is a person. Do you remember? The Holy Spirit is a person. And I said, anything that can be regarded or any person that can be regarded to having a personality is because the person has got a mind, a will, and what? Emotions. Anything that is regarded to have a personality is because that thing or that person has a mind, a will, and emotions. And we understood through scripture how all these three come together. And we also understood that the Greek, the core wording of the word Holy Spirit is nema, which means a moving wind, which means presence, or could literally mean flowing water. So the whole understanding of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is a spirit, but can be identified in many symbols. What are some of the symbols that we can find through scripture that depict the Holy Spirit? Pardon? Exactly. Tongues of fire. Acts chapter 2. Then what else? Pardon? A dove. From where I come from, we say dove. But Heise is saying dove. Someone say doof. So the essence of symbolisms are to carry out understanding that the Holy Spirit in Scripture has been represented in these features, like tongues of fire, like a mighty rushing wind, like a dove, and in other things. You would even find in Scripture that even sometimes the essence or the color that represents holiness, to which respect the Holy Spirit, is the color white. So all these things are totems, but the Holy Spirit in nature is a spirit. If the Holy Spirit was not a spirit, I'm not sure you would be called the Holy Spirit. So it's a Holy Spirit. Amen? And one of the things we were made to understand is the essence of Him being in the Trinity. The scripture we just read, another of our kind, Allos Parakletos. It means the Holy Spirit is another of the Godhead. And we read even in the book of Matthew chapter 28 down to 19, he said, when you go ye therefore, baptize them in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the essence of the Holy Spirit is He is God in the essence of the Trinity. He carries the same glory as God, but to functions, they have different functions. And we went on to speak on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we said the prime ministry of the Holy Spirit is to make sure that you are in the family of God. The reason why you can partake in the promises and in the blessings of God is because the Holy Spirit has quickened you. Amen. So we read the book of Romans and he said, we were not given a spirit of bondage so as to fear, but we were given a spirit that we would cry out, Abba, Father. So by the Holy Spirit, your authentication of sonship is revealed. And we understand in the book of Romans 8 as well, it said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Exactly. So the first ministry of the Holy Spirit is to unleash us into the real identity and real purpose of God's creation and God's hope for us. Amen. Then the second point I went on to say is the most crucial aspect after that is the building up of the godly and Christly image in us by the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, it says, I commend you to the word of his grace that is able to build you and keep you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, if I believe, it says, we all with open faces, as looking into a mirror, are transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit who is the Lord. So in essence, our transformation and the making of character, the formation of Christ in us is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear someone say amen? Then the third part that I made mention with reference to his ministry was ability. The ability to do is from the Holy Spirit. And I even made emphasis on the point that from Acts, I believe, chapter 38, verse 10, it says, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy what? Ghost and with what? Power. That he went around doing good, healing the sick, and all that were oppressed of the devil. So the essence of your ability in every retrospect, the essence of your ability in academia, the reference of your ability in marriage is authenticated, is granted to you by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the final aspect I also went on to touch on was how to build a good relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I think I'm going to spend some bit of time on that here. How to build a good relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the first point was what? Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. How can you relate to someone if you don't acknowledge the person that's in the room? You know, sometimes one of the most painful things you can do to anybody is the silent treatment where you pretend the person does not exist. It hurts. Don't do that. If you like doing that, don't do that. Buha. Okay? So acknowledge that the Holy Spirit exists and is present in your life. Jesus went up that he would come and be our helper. So first acknowledge. Acknowledge that he is with you. When scripture said, I will not leave you nor forsake you, he meant the presence of the Holy Spirit is forever with you. When scripture said, pray without ceasing, scripture meant everywhere you are, you can communicate with the Holy Spirit. So when you're in the bathroom, when you're in the bus, when you're in the office, wherever you are. And that is why the Spirit of the Lord moves to and fro, because the Spirit is everywhere. Amen. What's the second point? 1, 2, 3, go. Gain knowledge about what? The personality and the ways. And how do you gain this knowledge? From where? From the Bible. Correct for 3 points. Exactly. From the Bible. That is where we gain knowledge, not from the basic that you need is from the Bible. Then you can build upon with other Christian literature. We need to build a habit of reading the Bible for ourselves. It's good to add a video. It's good to add an audio. But read the Bible for yourself. Tap someone on the shoulder. Tell the person, read the Bible for yourself. You need to read the Bible for yourself. You know, sometimes the only thing we carry away is what is said from the pulpit, which is in itself not good. Okay? We need to build a habit of personal reading and personal inquiry. Amen? Let's go to the next point. 1, 2, 3, go. Spend time with the Holy Spirit in worship, in prayer. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Learn how to wait on the Lord. Learn how to worship alone. You don't need Mike Joshua on the keyboard, or you don't need Stephen on the drums. In your own room, learn how to worship. Learn how to saturate your atmosphere with the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's very important. And above all, you need to learn in deep retrospect how to relate to the Holy Spirit in prayer. In prayer. How do you relate to the Holy Spirit in prayer? Many a times we stand to pray and there are many things running through our mind. Focus. Sometimes I move into prayer not knowing what I'm going to pray about, but when I get that the Holy Spirit lays things on my heart to pray. In 2012, when I was going to write my final exam, I was a bit scared. On my bed, I started praying and the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear, pray for pregnant women. And I'm like, oh Lord, I have exam tomorrow. So literally, he will lead you on what to pray about. And that is when you start to go deeper in prayer. Because you start praying for your family, then the Lord opens your eyes to start praying for the next month for your children who are in the States. You start praying for your country and the Lord lays on your heart to pray for a particular place. Because the Holy Spirit sees what is to come and he tells you. So you don't know why you wake up in the morning and the Lord is telling you, pray about your work. Pray about your work. Pray about your work. The Holy Spirit transforms your prayer life. Amen. And I went on to write below, the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. Again, the only way to the Father is through who? And I repeat, it's not by any other way, it's not by any other name, it's not by any other work, it's only through who? Amen. So the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ, and the only way Christ can be revealed to and in us is through the Holy Spirit. Amen. We bless God. Now let's go on to today. What happens when you fellowship with the Holy Spirit? What happens when you encounter the Holy Spirit? What happens when you start wrapping yourself with the Holy Spirit? What happens to you in your workplace? What happens in your family? What happens in your class? What happens in how you raise your children? What happens when you begin to be on the same radar with He who knows what is to come? What happens when you begin to see as He sees? Because intimacy is come into me and see what I want you to see. What happens to you? Hey, a lot of things happen. A lot of things happen. The first thing is that your character is changed. You begin to look more like Christ. You begin to talk more like Christ. You begin to think more like Christ. When someone steps on your foot in the bus, you don't think of slapping the person. You think of telling the person. You rather tell the person sorry. When someone is cheating you, you don't think of cursing the person to death. The only thing that comes to mind is, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. When someone makes you so angry at work, you don't think of putting glue on his seat so that when he sits up, he can't get up again. You think of how to live peacefully with the person. When you spend much time with the Holy Spirit, anger is not an issue. When you spend much time with the Holy Spirit, the perspective of things, when people are seeing a problem, you are seeing a breakthrough. When people are seeing a mountain, you are seeing a testimony. So what happens? I'm down. What happens when you see and you get deeper with the Holy Spirit? Amen? God is good. The first thing I want to make mention is the fruit of the Holy Spirit are manifest in you. Someone say the fruit, not fruits, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is manifest in me if I fellowship more with Him. Can we read the scripture from Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 to 23? Ear, sons, go. People were rushing through it. Can we take it one more time? 1, 2, 3, go. So I wrote underneath it. I normally make small notes under the scripture when I read. I wrote underneath, the fruit of the Spirit builds a Christ-like character in us. This is what God desires above any miracle you can perform. I repeat, the fruit of the Holy Spirit builds a Christ-like character in us. And trust me, it's above anything you can do for the Lord. There is no essence being a preacher man and having a bad character. That doesn't make God happy. God is much happier when your character is much like Christ than you stand on the pulpit and preach 24 hours. God is much happier when your character is much more like Christ than you stand in your room and speak in tongues for over 20 hours. No matter how deep or accurate your prophecy would be, if your character is not in line, God is not happy. Character is important to the Father. Amen. And here we understand and we see a critical analysis of certain aspects of character that are built in us when we begin to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let's take some one by one. God is good. I want to start from beneath. And from beneath, we'll go to self-control. And I love the Amplified Bible because the Amplified Bible gives you direct synonyms that relate to the word that you are reading. And with reference to self-control, they wrote self-restraint and continence. So in actual sense, when you literally learn how to say no, when you literally know how to restrain yourself, when you literally know how to see negative and say, I'm not going to do this. Majority of us, it's not that we don't know what is wrong, but how to say no is very difficult. There was a time when I said I was not going to take juice again. And I have a very good friend. He is sitting here right now. Sometime when I go to his room, he has a lot of juice in his fridge. I'm not going to mention his name. And sometimes I'm in my head, I'm saying no. But already the bottle is in my mouth. And it happens, you know, not everybody is tempted the same way. People think, sexual immorality. Sometimes people's temptation is they just give up easily. The Holy Spirit built a habit of self-control when you are able to stay focused and deny self. One of the most spiritual answers you can give is no. Sometimes the person is asking you for something that you know is not good. Sometimes your head is telling you do this and you know it's not good. You have to just say no. But you can't. Sometimes you are shaking your head, but you are saying yes, yes. Can we try this? Everybody say no. No. So when your flesh is pushing you to do something that you don't want to do, what do you say? When your friends are calling you out to a place and you know you are going to go offline, what do you say? No is very spiritual. You don't always have to be a yes guy. Yes. Let's go. Yes. Learn how to be self-controlled. And the first person you need to learn how to say no to is yourself. Because you know what is wrong. You know that what you are doing is not right. But yet, it's just once. Let me just try. I've never done it before. Let me just do it. You don't need to do it multiple. I had a friend back in senior high school. He had never smoked Indian hemp before. Marijuana. People had smoked over semesters, three years, and still smoking. This guy just smoked once and he went to the hospital for 2 days. He was unconscious. You don't need to do the sin over and over till then it's going to hit. Sometimes only once is fatal. So learn to be self-controlled. And the seed, the fruit of self-control comes when you are able to fellowship more with the Holy Spirit. Because in your fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the flesh is suppressed and the spirit is increased. Amen? Let's go on. Then we have gentleness. Gentleness in the Amplified, it speaks of meekness and humility. Tap someone, you shall tell the person, be humble. Tell the person sitting beside you, be humble. Tell the person, it doesn't matter how beautiful you are looking, be humble. Tell the person, you may have hair on your chest, but still be humble. Amen? Be humble. Humility is not timidity. I repeat, humility is not timidity. Humility, again, is not silence. Humility is knowing who God has made you and you are not moved by what people would think of you. So it doesn't matter when you go to a classroom and people are mocking you because you like the classroom to be neat and you are always cleaning the classroom. You are still humble to do that. Your personality is not built on what people say. So you don't think yourself higher than others. No, I can't do this. He doesn't even dress well. No. Who is he to advise me? Who is he to talk to me? Does he know who I am? Why should he talk to me like that?
I'm the head of the family. I don't take anything from anyone.
No, no. You know it's a yes.
I know, but no.
Humility. Humility is understanding that the fact that you are in front, the fact that you are leading, you need to help people up. Humility is service. Where you don't want to be served, where you serve others. Amen. My father once told me, Perry, if you enter a room and you feel you can't polish the shoe of people who are there, if there is any person, you look at them and you be like, I can't clean your shoes. Mm-mm. Boy, you're proud. Amen. Hit your chest and say, Father, teach me humility. And then we have faithfulness. And then we have goodness. Goodness, which is also spelled out benevolence, the art of giving. Then we have kindness. Then we have patience. Patience, that is an even temper. Some of you get angry too quickly. You get so angry, then from nowhere there is a vein in front of your head. You get so angry, and how they call the medical students, how they call the vein on your neck? What? It's what? Yeah, you see, I'm hearing arteries in my head, but I think it's wrong. Arteries are, Hermas, why are you laughing? Your arteries are in your chest, but I think something, your pulmonary vein, you see it on your neck, and you see so big. Because someone took your chocolate cake. Really? You just don't know how to let it go. And the truth is, it is easier said than done. I fall victim to it. Many times. But the truth is, when you keep fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, He transforms you. And just like scripture says, it's from what? Glory. You may fall sometimes, but don't stay there. Rise up, because it's from what? To glory. You may fall, but don't stay there. And don't be too big to apologize. Everyone, repeat after me. Say, I am sorry. Did you die? Did you die? If you are still alive, let me see your hand. I am sorry has never killed anybody yet. Ever repeat after me, thank you. Oh, someone is getting a heart attack. No, no, no. Thank you has never killed anybody yet. The essence of being patient even is in situations. Sometimes we are not patient in situations. We are looking for a way out, and we even end up jumping on a worse boat. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Then the next thing is peace. Then we have joy, which is also said as gladness. And we have love. Love is everything. Love is everything, because God is love. Amen. God is love. So in basic terms, the character that every believer needs is aligned to the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It's very important for you to build character. And character and the essence of development of it comes by feasting on the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what shapes you. The Word of God is what molds you. Consistency in the Word. You have an issue with anger? Go to Scripture. Pray for grace. You have an issue with patience? Go to Scripture. Pray for grace. And trust me, the Lord will see you through. Amen. Can we read the scripture again from Galatians? 1, 2, 3, go. Amen. And the second part of the manifestations of the Spirit in our life as a result of relations is the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Someone say the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Basically, in Scripture, when you read from, I believe, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you understand that he said, desire the gift of the Spirit. And in essence, when you see desire the gift of the Spirit, you would see that the gift there is in parenthesis. It's italics. Italics. Anything that is in italics when you read the Scripture means it was not part of the original text, but was added for you to easily understand. So in essence, the Bible says, desire the spiritual. Desire the spiritual. So the gifts of the Spirit are the manifestations of the Spirit from outside of us. Amen? So the gifts of the Spirit, I repeat again, are all the manifestations of the Spirit from outside of us. And the most important thing I want you to know is they are not medals for your chest. Oh, I have the gift of prophecy. The Spirit of God manifests the gift of prophecy through you. It's not yours. In actual sense, it is for him. But he wills and he manifests. Amen? Great. Let's read Scripture. It was 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 to 3. 1, 2, go. Amen. Amen. I like the last part. It says, no one who speaks in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So the first thing I want you to know from this first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that ignorance is a killer. Ignorance is a killer. Ignorance will kill you. One thing I've realized is a lot of Christians, in the midst of a lot of hullabaloo surrounding a particular topic, they decide to stay away from the topic. But remember what I said, seek Scripture for yourself and the Holy Spirit will lead you and teach you. 1 John 2:27, it says, the Spirit that you have received is a teacher, and you need not anyone teach you. When you are faithful to Scripture, the Lord will reveal himself through the Scripture. Amen? So in the first point, I want you to know that ignorance will kill you. Get knowledge. Get knowledge. You need knowledge. And the second thing I want you to also understand is that one way or the other, you will be led. Spiritually, one way or the other, you will be led. What do I mean by you'll be led? Your decisions will be influenced from an unseen source. The essence of a spiritual world is seen basically in our decisions. So people are either, they are either influenced by a good spirit or a bad spirit. The good spirit which is of God and the bad spirit which is of the devil. So them that were of the world, they were led in their decisions by the spirit of the devil. That is why when they say, I will never forgive you, it's not of the Lord. But then when you come to those that are led by the spirit, they are hurt. And just like Stephen, they say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Then the next point from there also is, the purpose of the Holy Spirit at work in us is to exalt Jesus Christ as Lord. Every aspect of the manifestation of the Spirit is not for self-glory. I repeat, every aspect of the manifestation of the Spirit is not to glorify yourself and say, oh, I didn't know. It's to say, Father, you deserve the glory. It's to raise Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. We bless God. Let's move on.
Can we read this together? But not loudly, personally. You can read it. 1, 2, 3, go. If you are done, just raise your hand. Oh, glory to God. I'm very sure if I was reading from there, I would not be done by this time. So basically, we see what the church as an institution has highlighted as the 9 traditional gifts of the Holy Spirit, or the 9 traditional manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In essence, there are more manifestations of the Holy Spirit you can find in Scripture. You read other points in Scripture and you see the gift of service, the gift of administration, the gift of helps. There are many more that I believe are not even recorded even in Scripture. That if you decipher, you would see. The gift of chastity. When people have to leave their families, and the missionaries that left their families in Europe and went to Africa, the gift of chastity was at work in them. Yes. Those that gave their lives to die when Emperor Nero was killing people, when he was throwing people in lions' den and people would come out and say, I am also Christian, the gift of martyrdom was at work in them. Because there is a manifestation of the Spirit that you know that it was not by their strength of people. Even when a knife cuts you, how you run away from the kitchen. Why would you want to throw yourself in the lion's pit if you are not even led? Those who gave themselves to be burnt for the glory of the Lord. All these things. But traditionally, these have been accepted as basic traditionals. And they are grouped into 3 main parts. Maybe if you want to take notes, you can write. We have the power gifts. The power gifts. The power gifts. The power gifts are more expressive. They are more of translation of heavenly resources into a physical manifestation. That is where someone comes to Jesus with no eyes in the socket, and he literally takes mud and literally puts eyes back into his socket. So the power gifts are more dealing with reference to manifestation of excessive glory and power. And we see one, the gift of healing. The gift of healing. What is the gift of healing? The gift of healing is the instant removal of infirmity. So someone is sick, you lay your hand on the person and say, Father, I pray, your word makes us understand that by your stripes we are healed. And instantly, the Spirit manifests through healing. Amen. That is the first power gift. The second power gift is the working of miracles. The working of miracles. Right in this church on the first floor, I have seen a leg grow. Right in this church on the first floor, I have seen a leg grow. Isis, you were there, right? Raise your hand. Tell them turn. I was here. So don't think maybe we are talking from a movie. It was not a movie. It was real life. A lady had one leg longer than the other. The working of miracles is the understanding of divine principles to cause a change and a shifting of a physical infirmity. So when I saw the man of God literally pulling out the leg and making it longer to the glory of God, that is the working of miracles. When I went to Sri Lanka, I saw a lady who had a huge glaucoma and it was actually oozing out. And I literally saw the working of miracles through the waving of hands and through pouring of water, and it literally fell out as scales. The working of miracles is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Then we have the gift of faith. The gift of faith defies principles. There was a point in time when I read God's Generals and I read about the bulletproof pregnant woman. They used to call her bulletproof pregnant woman because they would catch her smuggling Bibles into the Soviet Union, and they would array her before the firing squad, but they would shoot her and the bullets would bounce off. They would shoot her and it would bounce off. Then there were kids I read about in the Philippines, kids who caught the revival. And as they were going to the other town to go and preach, there was an overflow of water. And guess what they did? They started running on water. I'm not talking about a movie. It's not an action movie. It's real life happenings. Your deep fellowship with the Lord will open your eyes to extraordinary things. Amen. When you move out of your comfort zone, in January, we are going to go for missions. On the mission field, you would see real manifestations. I have seen a guy walk up from behind with crutches, and by the time he got up in front, the crutches were down. The tumor was completely falling off. Miracles still happen. In another situation, the gift of faith comes at a point when you realize your faith could not have seen you through a particular situation. But then from nowhere, you feel a spark in you, and you certainly believe. Amen. So these are the power gifts. Can we mention the power gifts again? 1, 2, 3, go. What is the first one? The first power gift is the gift of healing. The second power gift is the working of what? And the third power gift is the gift of what? Faith. Powerful. Now let's go to the revelational gifts. The revelational gifts are the gifts in sense that reveal hidden things. Things that were not known at first, but they deal with the revelation of things. Revelation of intent. Revelation of a certain hidden thing. Amen. And the first revelational gift, the first revelational gift is the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment. The gift of discernment is knowing the spirit that is influencing a particular atmosphere or a particular person. There was a time when a friend invited me for a party in a club. I really wanted to go because I that was a very good friend of mine. So I went in the club, and literally when I entered the club, I could literally smell the presence of lust in the club. So I couldn't stay for long. I had to leave. That was discernment. Sometimes you go to a place and you are just not comfortable. Your spirit is telling you something. Sometimes you're about to go to a particular place and your heart is telling you, I think it would be better if you stayed in the room and read your Bible. But then you go and something happens and you come back. I wish I never went. I wish. It discerns the situation. It's able to know the spirit that is influencing the speech. So when Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees, scripture says he knew their hearts. Because in essence, the gift of discernment reveals the spirit that influences. And as a businessman, you need a gift of discernment. Because you are talking to someone and you don't know the person is a scammer. And you are going to give him $5,000. But then the Holy Spirit is just telling you no. He looks good. He has the connection. But the Holy Spirit is telling you no. Don't do it. Discernment. That is the revelational gift. Then we go on to the next revelational gift, which is the word of knowledge, or according to the ESV, the utterance of knowledge. The utterance of knowledge is knowing information that you were not privy to. And just like Jesus Christ did with the woman at the well, when he told her, you have married so and so number of husbands, and even the man you are with is not your husband, is the gift of knowledge. It means you know things or you know facts that have not been revealed to you. Like when I went to Sri Lanka and I needed to break the ice because I was ministering to a group of professors who were seeing me so little. And the Lord revealed a passport number to me. I made mention of it. And it was one of the people who were there's passport number. And he had been held, this passport had been held by the immigration. So sometimes the Lord reveals things to you. You'll be going in a bus. You are sitting beside someone. And from nowhere, you feel in your heart to talk to someone about marriage. Then you turn. Ah, how are you doing? My name is Perry. Ah, I like to talk about marriage. Say, oh, I need advice. Help me. Oh, help me. My husband is killing me. So in actual sense, the gift of knowledge gives you the facts of the situation. Then the next revelational gift is the word of wisdom or the gift of wisdom. But in ESV, it says the utterance of wisdom. How many times do you see that when people face a situation from nowhere, they seem to have a way to solve the situation? You have this particular friend. Anytime there is a problem, you call him. Oh, this. And he's like, do it this way, do it that way, do it this way. And it goes like, boom, voila. The gift of wisdom is understanding within the situation. Knowing how to deal with the circumstance. God gives you the gift of wisdom because it's heavenly. How to even think about a situation. Issues about choosing a school. Boom. The Lord teaches you. Do it this way. Do it that way. So these are the revelational gifts. So what are the revelational gifts? Can we mention them? One, two, go. Discernment. Word of knowledge. Gift of wisdom. Powerful. Now let's go to the last one, which are the spoken gifts. Everybody say spoken gifts. Spoken gifts. The spoken gifts are the ones that normally come through oration. Oration. They come through the mouth. And the first one I want to make mention is the speaking of other tongues. The speaking of other tongues is highly mentioned with reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even in the book of Acts. When the Holy Spirit came down, they began to speak in other tongues. And up till now, it's still relevant. We speak in other tongues. You can either speak according to 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 13. You can speak in the tongues of men or in the tongues of angels. So in Acts, when they were speaking in the tongues, the people said, oh, I hear them speaking in my language. But these are Jews because they were speaking in the tongues of men. Then you read the book of Hebrews. It says, for angels are ministering spirits that minister for the heirs of salvation. How do they do that? When you speak in tongues, sometimes the Lord graces you to speak in the tongues of angels. And you start dispatching angels on assignment. You start releasing angels to start working for you. So even in the Bible, talking about love, he says, whether you speak in the tongues of men or in the tongues of angels, if you have love, if you don't have love, you are still nothing. So that is the tongues. Tongues. Speaking of tongues. Is it tongues or tongues? Which one is it? Okay, God bless you. Then we have interpretation of tongues. Normally when, as a preacher, you stand here to preach, or they call you to lead prayer, it is wise to speak in words of understanding, as Paul will place it. Speaking in other tongues is not for public oration. Because when you come and stand here and you are preaching, we need to understand you. I can't come and stand here and be speaking in tongues. You will not understand unless there is someone to interpret. So the gift of interpretation of tongues is where the Lord gives understanding to spoken tongues. And it helps you so much in your prayer life. Because sometimes when the Lord causes you to speak in tongues, it's good to understand what you are saying so that you would act thereby. Many times am I speaking in tongues and after the Lord brings me understanding to what I'm saying. Many times I don't know what to pray about. Many times I hear the need to pray. Then I start speaking in tongues, and after the Lord opens my eyes to see exactly what
I was praying about.
And the final one is the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is revealing the mind of God pertaining a situation or a person. It's revealing the mind of God pertaining a situation or a person. And the gift of prophecy is unto edification. It builds up. It doesn't destroy. It brings unity. It doesn't bring disorder. And we need such people now. But above all, you need to learn how to prophesy to yourself. Amen. So these are the spoken gifts. Amen. Let's go on. This is my final slide. So, what happens when a believer understands and rightly relates to the Holy Spirit? What happens when a believer understands and rightly relates to the Holy Spirit? Can we read the first point? Many people think the Christian walk is boring. Many people think the Christian life, I don't want to stay in the room and be praying. No, it's boring. No, trust me. When you encounter the Holy Spirit, your Christian life is transformed. And I repeat, your Christian life is not here in this room. Your Christian life is everything about you. How you raise your children. How of a good husband you are. How of an obedient child you are. How of a good boss you are. All these things come to play. And once you encounter the Holy Spirit, he leads you to transform all these aspects of your life. Mind you, you really don't know how to be a good administrator of your life. Present your life to God, and through his Spirit, he will cause you to do better with your life. Then the second point, can we read it together? One, two, go. Like I said earlier, when the Holy Spirit becomes real to you, you begin to hear, you begin to see. I was telling my wife last month, I was praying at night and I saw an angel walking in the kitchen. And in the morning when she woke up, the jollof rice in the kitchen was finished. Someone had eaten the jollof. And she said, "Were you that angel that was..." But that night, I literally was caused to pray for the land of Hong Kong. And as soon as I saw the angel, and these things are supposed to be normal in your prayer life. They are not supposed to be strange. Because they are there to serve you. You may not see them, but by faith, if you relate to them, manifestations of that relation will happen. There are depths of intimacy when the Lord begins to show you visions. There are many of you here when you are praying, literally, with your eyes closed, you see a lot of things. You see rushing water. You see valleys. You see mountains. The Lord is telling you something about what you are praying about. The understanding of that through the Word of God will take you deeper. Will take you deeper. Do you even know about the four winds of heaven? The eastern wind that brings destruction. The western wind that brings glory. The northern wind that brings presence. The southern wind that releases glory. All these things are in Scripture and are manifestations of the Spirit. Go deeper. Go deeper. And your Christian life will never be the same. Then we have the third one. Can we read? One, two, go. Manifestations of God's power. When you begin to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, power just flows out of you. Even Jesus Christ needed it. Even Jesus Christ needed that anointing. You need it in your workplace. When Peter and his friends were going fishing, they needed power. They needed power to have a bumper harvest. In raising your child, you need power. You need power to discern. In your daily life, you need power. In your workplace, when someone who is not a Christian is so sick, lay hand on the person. Show power. For the kingdom is not in eating and drinking, but is in what? Righteousness, power, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then we have the fourth one, which is what? Ability. In the book of, in the Gospels, we understand that the Spirit has been, we have the love of God because the Spirit has been shed abroad in our hearts. So in equilibrium, the Spirit of God is a representative of the love. The reason why people are being difficult for you to love is because the Holy Spirit is not flowing freely in your life. When the Holy Spirit flows freely in your life, loving is easy. And that is what will identify you as a believer. Not a miracle, not their love. They asked, how would they know that we are your disciples? And Jesus responded, by your love one to another. It doesn't matter what you do in the church. It doesn't matter who you are in the church. If you have no love, you are not portraying the life of Jesus. Love is what authenticates you as a disciple. And love has been shed abroad in our hearts by his Spirit. Amen. And the final one is what? He's a helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. I was surprised when I was going through the notes. The number five in scripture, with reference to spiritual biblical understanding, stands for grace. And I didn't know that I actually put that at point number five. Grace is always released for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said, because his grace is sufficient for me, when I am weak, that is when I am strong. When I am poor, that is when I am rich. When I am not feeling so good, that is when I'm much better. Amen. Shall we rise to our feet? And I want to say a simple prayer. Father, let your Spirit be real in my life. Grant me grace to fellowship with your Spirit. Grant me grace to fellowship with your Spirit. Grant me grace to fellowship with your Spirit. All these things are nothing without you encountering and applying. And you want to pray that, Father, grant me grace to apply. Grant me grace to utilize. Grant me grace to flow in the manifestations of your Spirit. And if you are here and you are seeing glimpses of certain manifestations, you want to say, Father, I'm sorry for belittling those manifestations. Help me to grow in understanding. And you might be here, but you are not using your gift. You want to pray, Father, lead me on how to serve your church. Lead me on how to serve your church. Father, I thank you and I bless your name. Have your way. Have your way in our lives. We pray that, oh God, even as we've studied on your Holy Spirit, you are going to cause us to abound, abound mightily in knowledge of him. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. Sorry for the late closure. XICF, you are dismissed.